Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of those bass ideas that instantly tells a story in a drum and bass track, a retro rave chopped vinyl texture. It's got that dusty 90s white label energy, but we're shaping it inside Ableton Live 12 so it still hits like a modern, club-ready bass line. We're aiming for something that feels played, not programmed. A bass line with a sub foundation, a chopped mid-range character, a little record wobble, and enough arrangement movement to work in a real D&B tune. Think roller, jungle influence, darker jump-up intro energy, or a mid-track switch-up where you want the bass to feel physical and alive. First thing, set the session up for the groove. Start a fresh Live 12 project at 174 BPM, and get your drums in early. That's really important. Put in a kick and snare pattern, or a break loop with a strong backbeat, before you even worry about the bass. In drum and bass, the bass has to react to the drum pocket, not fight it. Create three tracks. One MIDI track for the sub, one MIDI track for the chopped vinyl mid bass, and one audio track for resampling and texture prints. Keep your master headroom sensible. You want peaks sitting around minus 6 dB before any final limiting, because bass movement and drum transients need space. Now let's build the sub first, and keep it simple. Load operator or wave editable on the sub track. A sine wave is perfect here, or a very soft saw sine blend if you want to touch more weight. Don't overcomplicate it. Turn off anything unnecessary, keep the sound mono, and use a short attack with a medium decay if you want tight roller style hits. Program a sparse 1 or 2 bar MIDI pattern that supports the chop texture. Think root notes, maybe the occasional fifth, maybe an octave jump if it helps the phrase. A good starting point is to place notes on bar 1 beat 1, beat 2.3, beat 3, and then bar 2 beat 1.3. Notice how that leaves space around the snare. That space matters. In D&B, silence is part of the groove. Keep the sub velocity even. The personality will come from the mid layer. If the notes overlap a little, you can add a small amount of glide or portamento, maybe 20 to 50 milliseconds, just enough to feel smooth without turning it into a legato synth line. The key here is clean, solid, and controlled. Now for the fun part. The chopped vinyl mid bass. On the second MIDI track, load simpler. Set it to one shot or classic depending on the source you're using. The source can be a rave stab, a chord fragment, an old vocal chop, or a bright synth bite bounce to audio. If you need to, resample something and drag it straight into simpler. The goal here is to turn that source into a playable bass texture. If it's too bright, use the filter in simpler and pull it into a more bass-friendly range, maybe somewhere around 120 to 300 Hz. Depending on the source, shorten the amp envelope so every note feels like a chop rather than a sustain sample. A short attack, medium decay, low sustain, and a little release is usually the sweet spot. Here's where the chopped vinyl feel starts to emerge. Adjust the sample start so each note catches a slightly different part of the source. If the sample has multiple transients, try slice mode. Add small pitch offsets if needed. The idea is to make it feel like a sampled phrase being nudged and retriggered, not a static synth bass. If you want that unstable record character, use subtle pitch variation and filter movement. Not extreme. Just enough to suggest a worn source. Harder hits can open the filter more. Softer hits can stay tucked back. That gives you a little performance logic inside the sound itself. Now let's add stock effects chain to shape the texture. Keep it musical and mix-aware. A solid chain might be EQ8, saturator, auto-filter, then a very subtle chorus ensemble or phaser flanger, and maybe utility if you need to control width. First, high-pass the mid layer with EQ8. Let the sub own the bottom. Somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz is often enough, but use your ears. Then add saturator with soft clip-on and a moderate drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB. You want grit and density, not destruction. After that, auto filter becomes your movement tool. Automate the cutoff in small arcs. Maybe it opens a little over 2 or 4 bars, then closes back down for the next phrase. That little movement makes the sample feel alive. If you want some worn widening in the upper mids, add chorus ensemble very lightly, maybe 5 to 15% mix, just enough to add a little smear and character. But keep the low end mono, always. Now program the chop rhythm like a bass line, not like a loop. This is where the line becomes musical. Write a 2-bar phrase with short notes, clear rests, and a shape that interacts with the drums. Think call and response. For example, in bar 1, hit a strong note on the 1, then answer with a syncopated chop around beat 2.2 or 2.3. In bar 2, leave the downbeat open, then answer with another chopped phrase before the snare. This creates tension and release. It makes the bass feel like it's speaking to the drums. Use velocity as a texture tool too. Strong notes can sit around 100 to 120, while ghost notes can live lower, maybe 45 to 75. That difference helps mimic the way real chops feel when certain slices are emphasized more than others. Also, don't be afraid to push a few notes slightly ahead or behind the grid. A little looseness can make it feel sampled instead of sequenced. Just a little. Enough to breathe. A good teacher tip here is to think in phrases, not loops. A chopped vinyl bass sounds convincing when it has a beginning, an answer, and a reset. Even a two-bar idea should feel like it's saying something, then pausing to let the drums answer back. Once the loop feels good, resample it. Route the mid-bass track to the audio track and record a few passes. While you're printing it, tweak the cutoff, change a couple of note velocities, maybe shift the pitch a touch, and see what happens. You can even print a reverse chop or a tiny pickup if it fits the vibe. Then cut the best bits into a new audio clip. This is a big move because it turns the bass into something you can edit like break material. Duplicate the clip, trim silence, reverse the tail of a chop into the next note, or create a one-beat pickup before the drop. That's where the retro rave character really locks in. It starts to feel like a sampled instrument being performed, not a clean MIDI bass preset. Now group the sub and chopped bass together in a bass group, so you can manage them as one unit. Inside that group, keep the sub mono. Make sure the mid layer is high-passed enough that it isn't fighting the sub. If the mids are getting cloudy, carve out a little pocket around 180 to 250 HE. That area can get muddy fast. This is also the right moment to check your sound in mono. If the chopped layer disappears or starts sounding thin and hollow, simplify the stereo effects. Low-end excitement is great, but in drum and bass, the bass has to stay locked and believable in mono. Now let's think arrangement. Because a cool sound design loop is one thing, but a real track needs structure. A strong layout could be a 16-bar intro, an 8-bar build, a 16-bar drop, an 8-bar switch-up, and then a second drop with some variation. In the intro, you can filter the chopped bass heavily so it feels like a memory of the full sound. Bring in drums gradually. Let the listener hear the identity before the full weight lands. Then in the build, open the filter a little more, tease the rhythm, and maybe add a reverse crash or a downlifter into the drop. When the drop lands, don't just run the exact same two-bar loop forever. Change one thing every 8 bars. Maybe a note ends differently. Maybe one ghost note is added. Maybe you remove the sub for a bar. Maybe one response note jumps an octave higher. Small changes go a long way. They keep the section moving without breaking the identity. That's especially important with retro rave bass, because the whole point is that it feels like a loop being manipulated in real time. If it stays too static, it loses the sampled illusion. Let the drums influence the bass too. If the break is busy, simplify the bass rhythm. If the drums are sparse, you can afford more chop detail. Leave space right before the snare for a bass pickup. Let a kick hit trigger a shorter note. Drop out one bass hit before a fill. Add a ghost note after a break accent. These micro edits make the bass and drums feel like one performance. If you want to get even deeper, try a few advanced variations. You can duplicate the mid bass and make one version tighter and drier, another more degraded or slightly wider, then automate between them across phrases. You can use octave displacement sparingly, lifting just one response note up an octave so it pops out of the texture. You can also build a ghost layer, low-passed and tucked under a few key notes, just to add depth without clutter. And don't forget the power of resampling through different chains. One print with clean saturation, one with heavier grit. Then pick the best bits from each. That often sounds more believable than one stack patch trying to do everything. A good mini exercise while you're working is this. Make a 2-bar sub pattern, load a short rave stab into simpler, build a 4 to 6 note per bar rhythm with space around the snare, add EQ8, saturator and auto filter, then resample a pass to audio. After that, delete or mute 2 notes and replace them with a reverse chop or a shorter pickup. Check it in mono. Then duplicate it into an 8-bar arrangement and change one detail every 2 bars. That's the mindset. Build a bass line that feels like a played sample instrument, not a looped preset. Keep the sub clean. Keep the mid layer dirty enough to carry the retro rave vibe, and let the arrangement breathe. So the big takeaways are simple. Build the sub first. Keep it clean, mono, and sparse. Use simpler and stock Ableton effects to turn a rave fragment into a chopped vinyl bass texture. Phrase the chops like a DNB bass line, with syncopation, space, and response to the drums. Resample early so you can edit the performance like audio. Protect the low end, and arrange it with enough variation that it feels like a real track, not just a sound design demo. If you get the balance right, This technique gives you a bassline that feels retro, gritty, and completely drum and bass, but still controlled enough to sit in a modern, heavy mix. Let's get into the project and make that dusty rave energy hit.